Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, July 6, 2022. Coming up this hour.
UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson clings to power. We're at 10 Downing Street with the latest.
The U.S. and China hold talks on the war in Ukraine.
Oil stabilizes after yesterday's 8% sell-off.
And Amazon takes a stake in Grubhub.
New Jersey Governor Murphy signs new gun legislation. Plus, New York Mayor Adams announces a plan to get ghost cars off the streets. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
And I'm Scott Seidenberg. Both the Yankees and Mets lose, plus an update on Wimbledon. I'll have that and more coming up in sports.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are little changed this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures are trimming their declines. The DAX in Germany is higher, up 1.4%. CAC in Paris up 1.6%. And the FTSE 100 up 1.5%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.80%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.83%. COMEX gold is little change at $1,762 an ounce. The euro, 1.0225 against the dollar. The yen, 135.32. And Bitcoin is at $20,190, down 1.25%. John.
And Karen, we're going to have more on the markets in just a minute. But first, we're going to start with the latest on the future of Boris Johnson, the British Prime Minister clinging to power following the resignations of two senior members of his government. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Lizzie Burden outside number 10 Downing Street.
Started with a surprise apology from Boris Johnson about his handling of the Chris Pincher affair, which of course is just the latest chapter of the Pestminster story, all these alleged sexual misconduct scandals. But that was quickly followed by the resignations of two of his most senior team, Sajid Javid, the Health Secretary, and the Chancellor, Rishi Sunak. Both their resignation letters attacked his integrity. And then it was the Attorney General and a string of junior government members. So it does seem that the tide has finally started turn against Boris Johnson. He came back with an emergency reshuffle, trying to show he's fighting back.
Bloomberg's Lizzie Burden reporting outside 10 Downing Street says Johnson will face questions in the House of Commons today. He'll also appear before a parliamentary committee.
Well, in other political news this morning, John, foreign ministers from the group of 20 nations are gathering in Bali, Indonesia, and Russia's invasion of Ukraine will top the agenda at the meeting. Nathan Hager has more from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken heads to the G20 summit today. A top U.S. official says he will meet this weekend with his Chinese counterpart Wang Yi for a, quote, candid exchange about the war and what the U.S. expects, not just from China, but from all responsible members of the international community. This will be Blinken's first face-to-face encounter with Wang since October. The State Department says Blinken is not expected to meet with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. He is also planning to attend the G20 summit. In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Nathan. The Secretary General of OPEC has died. Mohamed Barkindo was in the final weeks of his 6-year tenure as the head of the oil cartel when he died in his native Nigeria. Barkindo oversaw one of the most turbulent periods in OPEC's history. He was 63.
Meantime, in the markets, John, oil is recovering some of yesterday's 8% loss. Checking prices right now, NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4%. It's at $99.89 a barrel. Brent is up 1% at $103.80. Banks, including Goldman Sachs, say the recent plunge on recession fears is overdone, and the outlook for energy consumption in China is improving.
And in Asia, overnight stocks dipped as fears of an economic downturn lingered over financial markets, and that had the dollar hovering at the highest level in more than 2 years. Let's get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore.
China chipmakers were one of the few bright spots in the markets Wednesday after Bloomberg News reported the U.S. is pushing the Netherlands to ban ASML Holding from selling to China technology essential in making a large chunk of the world's chips. But Asian energy stocks lost all this year's gains as crude oil struggled to regain Tuesday's steep losses. But a new program of virus testing in Shanghai has raised the likelihood of another lockdown, and that weighed on investor sentiment during Wednesday's session. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, while here in the U.S., futures have been erasing their losses following yesterday's late-day rally. At one point, the S&P 500 was down more than 2% before ending the day higher. Sylvia Jablonski is Chief Investment Officer at Defiance ETFs.
You know, I think in the near term, we get that range-bound volatility, but investors that, you know, have been waiting for something might be thinking, you know, we can't call the bottom here, but is it possible that the market has done some of the work for the Fed? And is it possible that putting that first dollar to work makes sense here?
Sylvia Jablonski at Defiance ETF says the markets are already pricing in a recession.
And on the economic calendar today, we get minutes from the Federal Reserve's June meeting. That's when the central bankers raised interest rates by 75 basis points. Meantime, economists say a broad index of inflation expectations that the Fed watches is expected to show a big rise when it's published later this month.
Well, in corporate news this morning, John, it looks like Amazon is on the acquisition trail, and we get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Amazon will get options for a 2% stake in Grubhub and will have the chance to increase that holding to 15%. Amazon's stake will be in the form of warrants. They'll vest depending on how well the partnership performs and how many new customers come as a result. It's a relief for the struggling Grubhub, which in April announced plans to find an investor or bidder. Shares for parent company Just Eat jumped as much as 16% in Amsterdam today. The stock had fallen close to 70% this year. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Renita. The crypto crash has claimed another victim. Broker Voyager Digital has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. The New York-based firm cites market volatility and the collapse of a hedge fund to which it had lent money.
And in futures this morning, our little change. The DAX in Germany is up 1.4% and the 10-year Treasury down 3/32nds. Yield 2.81%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.83%. And taking a look at crypto, Bitcoin down 1.3% at $20,177. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. 6:07 on Wall Street. And time to bring in Michael Barr to find out what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. The gunman accused of attacking an Independence Day parade in suburban Chicago has been charged now with 7 counts of first-degree murder, and more charges are expected. Lake County State's Attorney Eric Reinhart.
The loss of life and these devastating injuries and the overwhelming psychological trauma demand we seek justice. And that we take broader action to protect life.
State Attorney Eric Reinhart says that the suspect, Robert Cremo, if convicted of murder, would receive a mandatory life sentence without the possibility of parole. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy signed a package of bills touted to increase gun safety less than 2 weeks after the U.S. Supreme Court weakened the state's ability to restrict carrying concealed firearms. Murphy signed 7 bills and promised more action.
There are those who take seriously the words of the satirical website The Onion, and this was the headline. No way to prevent this, says only nation where this regularly happens. And sadly, it appears 6 of these mistaken people sit on the Supreme Court of the United States of America.
Governor Murphy says the new laws include mandatory training prior to a gun purchase, tracking of ammunition sales, and micro-stamping technology so bullets can be traced to particular weapons. New York City Mayor Eric Adams says drivers of vehicles caught with illegal fake paper license plates will be towed and could potentially be auctioned off. Mayor Adams says that they're cracking down on ghost cars because we know the drivers of these cars are, quote, up to no good.
And I said over and over again, there are many rivers that feed the sea of violence. We're damming each river. And paper plates, to some, you'll say, well, what does that have to do with damming a river? It dams the river of people using their vehicles for illegal behavior.
Mayor Adams says the law is coming after anyone who tries to make their car untraceable. Rudy Giuliani, Senator Lindsey Graham, and 5 others have been called to testify before a special grand jury in Atlanta.
According to court filings, it's part of an investigation into alleged attempts by former President Trump and his supporters to change the result of the 2020 election in Georgia. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
All right, Michael, thank you. And it's now 6:10 of Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's Scott Seidenberg.
Thanks, John. Max Scherzer returned from the IL and was absolutely dominant. A season high 11 strikeouts and 6 shutout innings, allowing just 2 hits. The Mets, however, could not muster up any offense. And with news in the bottom of the ninth to the Reds, 1-0. Here was Scherzer on his outing.
Felt great. No issues whatsoever today. Felt strong all the way through. Never tighten up on me, so that's a good thing.
David Peterson gets the start tonight. The Yankees, meanwhile, fell to the Pirates 5-2. Jameson Taillon's return to Pittsburgh was spoiled early when he allowed a Dan Vogelbach home run in the second and then a 2-run shot to rookie Jack Sawinski in the fourth. It was the first loss for Taillon since April 11th. The Yankees losing back-to-back games for just the 5th time this season. Luis Severino will start tonight. Tennis at Wimbledon, Novak Djokovic rallied from 2 sets down to defeat Jannik Sinner and advance to the semifinals. Rafael Nadal faces American Taylor Fritz in today's quarterfinal. I'm Scott Seidenberg with Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, thanks, Scott. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures right now pretty much unchanged. Dow futures just 4 points lower. S&P E-mini futures down a point. The NASDAQ futures, they are 7 points lower. With all the turmoil happening in the UK on the political front, pound sterling down about 0.1% at 119.32. And as we look at treasuries right now, there is this inversion in the twos and tens, the 2-year above the 10-year, right now 2.84, the 10-year yield at 2.81%. And as we look at COMEX gold, that is at $1,760.90 an ounce, down $3. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg weather from Gary Best. Sunshine today, high 85 to 90. Tonight, increasing clouds, low about 70. Tomorrow's outlook mostly cloudy. Could see some showers in the afternoon. The high tomorrow, 75 to 80.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Informatica. In the cloud, your data has the power to do the extraordinary. Manage data across any location in the cloud for accurate and actionable insights. More at Informatica.com. U.S. stock index futures are a little changed this morning amid concern over a global economic slowdown. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, the DAX in Germany is higher, up 1.4%. The 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.81%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.84%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.1% or 14 cents at $99.64 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $3.10 at $17.60.80 an ounce. The euro 1.0220 against the dollar. British pound 1.1947 and the yen 135.33. Bitcoin is lower, down 1.6% at $20,109. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. At least 7 people are now dead after Monday's mass shooting at a Chicago area 4th of July parade, with over 24 others hospitalized. The suspect now faces 7 charges of first-degree murder. Former Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani, Senator Lindsey Graham, and 5 others have been called to testify before a special grand jury in Atlanta. It is part of an investigation into alleged attempts by former President Donald Trump and his supporters to change the results of the 2020 election in Georgia. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost. The Nationals, Red Sox, and Giants also lost. The Orioles and A's won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. It is 6:19 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Boris Johnson appears to be hanging by a thread this morning. That's after the British Prime Minister suffered several high-profile resignations in his government. And Bloomberg's Lizzie Burden is outside number 10 Downing Street this morning with details. Lizzie.
Yes, John, on the cover of the UK newspapers this morning, you've got them just describing his situation as on the brink, and another refers to him as the greased piglet. Remember that moniker, that he manages to survive these situations that historically put his predecessors under so much pressure that they resigned. Well, it doesn't look likely that he will do that. Last night, his health secretary, Sajid Javid, who is also a former chancellor, and the Chancellor Rishi Sunak quit. They said they couldn't handle having to stand up in public and defend his handling of the Chris Pincher affair, this MP who was alleged to have been involved in sexual misconduct but was then rehired into the government as Deputy Chief Whip. Both of their resignation letters going hard with the venomous language about Johnson's integrity. And yet, overnight, we've had even more junior resignations, even into the past few minutes. So our reporter, Alex Wickham, is this morning reporting that Johnson's on red alert for signs of a coordinated plot from his ministers to bring him down, because if six or eight of the cabinet quit, it would leave him struggling even to form a cabinet.
Yeah. Resignations, are they an act of conscience, or are these people after his job?
Well, both Sajid Javid and Rishi Sunak are thought to have leadership ambitions. Sajid Javid has stood before, and they're going to be even more dangerous if they're on the back benches. They'll be able to more easily organise other MPs around them. Rishi Sunak, in his resignation letter, said that he accepted this may be his last ministerial position, but perhaps he'll have a position in his own government, who knows. But it wasn't all about this Westminster, as it's called, scandal. For Rishi Sunak, it was also about Johnson's handling of the post-COVID economic recovery. He has said that he had to take difficult decisions. If something's too good to be true, it probably is. He said his approach was fundamentally different from Johnson's on the economy. So clearly he couldn't get on board with the fiscal boosterism that Johnson wanted of him.
Explain to us what the Prime Minister faces now with there's a Q&A, well, there's a question session in Parliament, and explain to us also what the liaison committee is.
Yes, so first of all, we'll have Prime Minister's questions weekly session where Johnson's first of all grilled by the Leader of the Opposition, Keir Starmer, and then other MPs in the chamber. But in previous weeks, Keir Starmer seemed to have missed an open goal. He focused too much on policy rather than personality when Boris Johnson's been at his weakest. Then Johnson faces more questions from the liaison committee. That's the heads of all the parliamentary select committees. So he'll be getting questions from all different angles, and it'll be a very tough crowd to please.
Bloomberg's Lizzie Burden outside number 10 Downing Street. Covering the latest on Boris Johnson's government in turmoil. Lizzie, thanks a lot. We're going to continue to update the story as it develops throughout the day right here on Bloomberg Radio. So now let's turn to the markets, where concern continues to swirl over a possible global economic slowdown. Also get Fed minutes today. Let's get you set up for the trading day ahead. Now joining us, Lizanne Saunders, Chief Investment Strategist at Charles Schwab. What a pleasure. We do this as, yeah. Let's see, NYMEX crude, Lizanne, below 100. The 2 years and the 10-year treasuries inverted, 283, 281. So, the question to you, inflation taking a back seat now to recession fears in markets?
Well, I think it's a combination. And regardless of whether it ultimately will be declared an official recession, I mean, the growth slowdown is very obvious. So I'm not sure the semantics around what we call this matters all that much. And I do think that whether it's specifically the reason for the reversal yesterday, the idea that slower growth is one of the best sort of cures for the inflation problem. So this notion that a recession or a slowdown is kind of a feature, not a bug, of what the Fed is trying to accomplish here with bringing demand down and in turn inflation down. And you're seeing it in a lot of the forward-looking data.
So does the trajectory for the policymakers, does that now change?
So that's an interesting question. So, you know, embedded in expectations is still a 75 basis point hike this month. But I wouldn't be surprised if maybe there was more softening of the language for the outlook into the September meeting, assuming we don't see a pickup in growth. So it does look like 75 is still on the table for July, but maybe some of the aggressive assumptions into September and the remainder of the year start to be tempered by virtue of the slowdown we're in the midst of.
I know I can split hairs on definitions, but...
And discover undervalued companies that may have greater growth potential. Try IBKR Global Analyst today at IBKR.com/GA. Up first, we turn back to British Prime Minister Boris Johnson and his political future hanging by a thread. Bloomberg's Lizzie Burden joins us once again from outside 10 Downing Street.
Boris Johnson is hanging by a thread here. It started off with that surprise, stern public apology over his handling of the Chris Pincher affair, but it was followed quickly by the resignation of his health secretary, Sajid Javid, and then his chancellor, Rishi Sunak. Then it was followed by the resignation of the attorney general and a string of junior ministers, suggesting perhaps that the tide has now turned on Boris Johnson.
And Bloomberg's Lizzie Burden says Johnson will face questions in the House of Commons today and also appear before a parliamentary committee.
And back here at the U.S. futures coming off a late-day rally, the S&P 500 was down more than 2% at one point yesterday before ending the day higher. Sylvia Jablonski is Chief Investment Officer at Defiance ETFs and says markets already are pricing in a recession.
The market has done a lot of work, and if you think about recessions to come, a lot of that is froth taken off the market before we sort of hit that point. So I do think that we're seeing sort of hope that we're nearing some bottoms here. That doesn't mean that we can't go lower a little bit, but I think we're more than halfway there.
Sylvia Jablonski of Defiance ETF says markets have done a lot of the Fed's work, and rate hikes could become less aggressive from here.
Well, turning to oil, John, it's recovering some of yesterday's 8% sell-off. Right now, crude is higher. NYMEX crude up 0.4% at $99.92 a barrel. And Brent up 1.1% at $103.94. And a sad note to pass along, Mohamed Barkindo, the Secretary General of OPEC, has died in his native country of Nigeria. He was 63.
And now to corporate news, where Amazon is on the acquisition trail this morning. And Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with more. Renita, good morning.
Good morning, John. Amazon will get options for a 2% stake in Grubhub and could increase that holding to 15%. Amazon's stake will be in the form of warrants. They'll vest depending on how well the partnership performs and how many new customers come as a result. The deal also gives Amazon Prime members in the U.S. access to Grubhub for 1 year. Shares for parent company Just Eat rose as much as 16% in Amsterdam today. The stock's fallen close to 70% this year. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. That's the five things that you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. And futures this morning, they have been fluctuating. S&P futures are now higher, up about 4 points. Dow futures also higher, up 36, and NASDAQ futures up 10. The DAX in Germany is up 1.7%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32. Yield 2.82%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.84%. NYMEX crude oil, again, up 0.4% at $99.90 a barrel. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr to tell us what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. The man accused of opening fire at an Independence Day parade in suburban Chicago is charged now with 7 counts of murder. Lake County State's Attorney Eric Reinhardt says that Robert Cremo could receive a mandatory life sentence without the possibility of parole.
We anticipate dozens of more charges centering around each of the victims. Psychological victims, physical victims, attempt murder charges, aggravated discharge charges, aggravated battery charges.
State Attorney Reinhardt says that Cremo allegedly sprayed more than 70 rounds from a rooftop into a crowd in Highland Park.
New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy signed a package of bills touted to increase gun safety. Murphy signed seven bills and promised more action.
We believe, or I should say no, we know that we can take on the epidemic of gun violence and win.
The new laws include mandatory training prior to gun purchases and, according to Governor Murphy, tracking ammo sales. New York City officials have announced plans to track down on so-called ghost cars. The New York mayor, Eric Adams, says that they're vehicles with illegal, fake, paper license plates.
When you see people using these paper plates, many times they are doing something illegal.
Mayor Adams says the cars would be towed and could potentially be auctioned off. Construction of a new Hudson River rail tunnel connecting New York City and New Jersey took another step forward in the planning phase. Both New York Governor Kathy Hochul and New Jersey Governor Murphy announced a memorandum of understanding with the Port Authority on financing terms for the $12.3 billion Gateway Tunnel and the $1.6 billion Portal Bridge replacement. Seven Trump allies have now been subpoenaed in the Georgia criminal investigation of election interference. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
These are grand jury summons, and the names include Rudy Giuliani, Lindsey Graham, and John Eastman. The move underscores the breadth of the investigation being conducted by the district attorney of Fulton County, which is a suburb of Atlanta. She's weighing a range of charges, including racketeering and conspiracy. This is the closest a criminal investigation has gotten to Trump's inner circle. Now, the subpoenas do not automatically mean that those involved are a target of any investigation. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. And it's now 6:36 on Wall Street. That's time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's Scott Seidenberg.
Good morning, John. For just the fifth time this season, the Yankees have lost consecutive games, falling to the Pirates in Pittsburgh last night 5-2, spoiling Jameson Taillon's return to his former team. Taillon allowed 5 runs on 6 hits in 5 1/3 innings, picking up his first loss since April 11th. Here was Aaron Judge after the game.
You know, they made it, you know, a couple timely double plays. I couldn't really get that big hit to kind of, you know, get the momentum going on our side to kind of get their rolling. You know, they started off with a couple home runs there to kind of put us in a deficit, but, you know, like we've done before, we were worried about that and thought we'd come back, but they were able to hold us down there all the way till the end.
Luis Severino will get the start tonight. Max Scherzer returned from the IL last night. He struck out a season-high 11 in 6 shutout innings, allowing just 2 hits, but the Mets would fall to the Reds 1-0 in the bottom of the 9th inning. David Peterson gets the start tonight. Tennis at Wimbledon, Novak Djokovic rallied from 2 sets down to defeat Jannik Sinner and advance to the semifinals. Rafael Nadal faces American Taylor Fritz in today's quarterfinal. I'm Scott Seidenberg with Bloomberg Sports. John?
Well, thank you, Scott. It is 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names that are moving in the pre-market. For that, we're joined by Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. A lot of chip stocks. Is this a China story or?
You know, it's sort of a China story. I have to say my job is incredibly hard today because futures are literally flat. There isn't a ton going on in the markets. It kind of feels like everyone either has it out for
this
me.
This is
or
when real reporters rise to the occasion, Kriti.
I'll try. I think chips is the best place to go here because you did, of course, have that Bloomberg story yesterday. The U.S. is pushing the Netherlands to ban ASML. This is the Dutch semiconductor equipment maker from selling some of those chip making tools to China. Now, some context here. ASML is a company that, like I said, it makes semiconductor making equipment, kind of like Deere, for example, makes farming equipment for, ASML.
And they use chips in their tractors, by the way.
They do. That's a little fun tidbit. But the takeaway here is that their technology is very crucial. It's been it's very advanced technology. It's been in the eyesights of a lot of other major chip giants. NVIDIA, for example, has long talked about actually perhaps targeting or purchasing that technology. Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, TSMC, where the majority of the world's chips are made anyway, has also talked about that technology. the U.S. is pushing the Netherlands, remember this is a Dutch company, to ban ASML from selling some of those tools to China. So this is a chip story, but once again, here's what it does. It makes those chip makers even more attractive in some ways, because the idea here being that if you can't get your hands on that technology, especially in a part of the world where most of the chips are made, that's going to be a big deal. So actually, you did see some of those stocks higher in the pre-market. And then you look at some of these other chip equipment makers that are competing, for example, Applied Materials, which competes with ASML. AMAT, it's down 3.7%. You have a similar story when it comes to the likes of Advanced Micro Devices. Remember, AMD and NVIDIA do actually compete very closely. So when you have NVIDIA trying to get that technology, AMD is going to be slightly under pressure, down about 0.1%. Intel is one we should worth checking on as well. INTC is your ticker. It's actually unchanged at the moment, but you did see earlier in the session it drop about 1%. So once again, there's a lot of movement in this industry. This is the sector I would keep an eye on today.
And sir, well, more than tangential to this is cybersecurity. What is happening on that front?
There's a lot happening on that front. You know, I feel like tech is once again becoming the story, but it's not just your traditional tech. It's not your Apple, your Microsoft, your Tesla. It's your kind of, I want to say like adjacent tech that you would think of, your semiconductors, your cybersecurity, the ones that trade in line with big tech almost. So for cybersecurity, the story here is that Morgan Stanley analysts saying they're expecting durable security spending environment in the second half of 2022. They're quoting an uncertain macro backdrop. But remember, this has been a trade that's worked in terms of defense, not in terms of Lockheed Martin, et cetera. Also cybersecurity since the war in Ukraine broke out. Palo Alto Networks is a good example. PANW down about 0.2%. And I'll give you one more. CrowdStrike, CRWD, it is also down 0.2%.
Thanks, Kriti. Appreciate it. Bloomberg Radio TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. And looking at stocks as a whole, as she said, they're flat. Dow futures up 9. S&P E-mini futures unchanged. And NASDAQ futures down just 2. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And just ahead, we will go to the nation's capital. We'll look at the breadth of charges, new subpoenas in the Georgia election probe. You're listening to Bloomberg.
Headlines and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures have been fluctuating this morning. They are lower once again. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call, and here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. Modest losses in the futures right now. Dow futures down 29 points. S&P's dropped 5 and NASDAQ futures declined by 17. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.82%. Gold is down 4. Oil is little changed. And Bitcoin is down by 1.7%. Asian stocks fell overnight on fears of another lockdown in Shanghai, while European markets are firmly in the green, led by gains in the UK and France. Back in the U.S. on the economic front, 9:45, services and composite PMIs, and at 10 o'clock, the ISM Services Index. In deal news, Amazon would take up to a 15% stake in Grubhub. In other news, crypto broker Voyager Digital filed for Chapter 11, and Tiger Global's hedge fund gained 3.4% in June, pairing its 2022 drop to 50%. Wrapping things up, Sabre was raised by a Bank of America. Continental Resources cut to second perform at RBC, and VMware was cut to market perform over at Raymond James. Live from the First Bacon News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news of your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. A man charged with 7 counts of murder after firing off more than 70 rounds at an Independence Day parade in suburban Chicago legally bought 5 weapons. Police say that includes the high-powered rifle used in the shooting. Two senior members of UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson's cabinet quit late last night. The Prime Minister and his team are braced for more potential cabinet resignations this morning after 10 Tory MPs quit government positions, including Chancellor Rishi Sunak and Health Secretary Sajid Javid. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost. The Nationals, Red Sox, and Giants also lost. The Orioles and A's won.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:49 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT welcomes its ninth president, Tech Lim, a visionary leader committed to growing NJIT's partnerships with industry to bolster student opportunities and outcomes. Learn more at njit.edu. And now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. In China, the COVID zero strategy is being tested again. A jump in infections across Shanghai is raising the prospect of another lockdown. The city reported 24 inspections today, the most in 3 weeks. Meanwhile, a highly infectious variant of the virus has begun spreading in China for the first time. The European Parliament is gearing up for a controversial vote on whether gas and nuclear energy can be considered green. Opponents say a yes vote would tarnish the EU's ambition to set the gold standard for green finance. The discussion has heated up since the invasion of Ukraine, since the region wants to get rid of fossil fuels from Moscow. And Amazon has struck a deal to take up to a 15% stake in Grubhub. It also will offer its Prime users in the U.S. a one-year membership to the food delivery service. Grubhub is owned by the Dutch company Just Eat Takeaway, which announced plans to find an investor or bidder for the U.S. business in April. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. John.
All right, thanks, Karen. We are live for the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is 6:51 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in the nation's capital. Some of our top stories. Giuliani, Graham, five others subpoenaed in the Georgia probe. Blinken plans candid exchange with China on the war in Ukraine. China calls U.S. pressure on chipmakers technological terrorism and miscarriage. Stillbirth prosecutions await women post-Roe. Let's take a deeper dive into some of these stories this morning with Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins joining us from the nation's capital. Emily, good morning to you. New subpoenas in that Georgia election probe. Give us an idea of the breadth of charges and who's involved.
Yeah, so this is a probe that is really going into Trump's efforts to overturn the election in 2020. If you'll remember, there was that phone call that really made headlines about Trump basically calling up election officials and asking them to find more ballots, to find more votes. And so there's a group that's been looking into this. They've reached out to Rudy Giuliani, Senator Lindsey Graham, four of Trump's lawyers, as well as a podcaster who supported Trump's efforts to change the outcome of election, and have asked them to testify. At this point, Rudy Giuliani's attorney says that he has not been served with a subpoena at this point. And it'll be interesting to see what sort of cooperation Giuliani and Lindsey Graham wind up giving to this particular investigation. This, of course, is separate from the two other major investigations that are going on. Number one, the January 6th panel in the House that's been holding these public hearings and is going to be holding more next week, as well as the Department of Justice's investigation into what happened on January 6th.
Yeah, since you bring up the January 6th investigation, what's their connection to criminal charges? They can't bring criminal charges, but what are they can recommend to the Justice Department? Where does all that stand?
Yes, you're absolutely right, John. The January 6th committee cannot bring criminal charges, but they can present evidence and they could potentially make recommendations. And there has actually been some debate among the lawmakers on the January 6th committee, as well as whether they should be recommending specific charges, when they should do that. I mean, remember, we're having these public hearings now, but the committee has stressed multiple times that its work is not done, that it's still ongoing, that these public hearings have led to more individuals coming forward. The committee is expected to release a report in either July, August, September, coming up here before the election. And so at that point, we would expect if the Justice Department was going to sort of take something from the committee, it would be what would be compiled in that report and see if they could use it then to further their own investigation.
All right, let's move to the next story. The Secretary of State planning an exchange with China on the war in Ukraine. And as we know, China's sort of come down on the side of Russia in this war, right?
Yeah, and Blinken is, China's, you know, they walked this interesting line where they've said that they, you know, that their friendship has no limits with Russia, but at the same time, they haven't yet really crossed some of the lines that the U.S. has set down as far as saying that, hey, we will be sanctioning other countries that try to help Russia. And so this is just another conversation. I mean, obviously a very important conversation given the high level diplomats involved, just trying for the U.S. and China to touch base and to discuss where China's at in terms of Russia and Ukraine. This will be happening at the upcoming G20 meeting in Indonesia. And while Secretary of State Antony Blinken will be meeting with his Chinese counterpart, he will not be meeting with his Russia counterpart, who's also expected to be at the meeting. The Biden administration, State Department spokesman Ned Price said on Tuesday that the two aren't expected to meet because the U.S. would only do so if Russia has shown that it's interested in a diplomatic solution with the Ukraine conflict. And at this point, that hasn't happened.
And if you need a reminder about the existing tensions between China and the U.S., you can look to this next story, accusing the U.S. of technological terrorism. What's this about?
Yeah, so the U.S. right now is lobbying other countries to stop selling technology that's needed for making chips to China. And so China, you know, the U.S. is obviously trying to put some limits on China's ability to produce these chips. Right now, the U.S. In Congress is trying to actually pass more than $50 billion of funding to try and have the U.S. start making more chips. And so this is obviously something that, you know, it's not looked favorably on in Beijing. There are concerns that officials have spoken about publicly, saying that this is just another example of the U.S. practicing coercive diplomacy, abusing state power. Of course, it's yet to be seen at this point exactly what is going to happen, whether some of these allies like the Netherlands are going to agree to stop selling some of these technologies to China. But this is something that the U.S. and Bloomberg has reported that the U.S. has made the ask, and kind of speaks to both the tensions with China as well as some of the supply chains concerns that the U.S. currently has.
All right, Em, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. Bloomberg's Emily Wilkins. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio and watching at Bloomberg 99.1 at 105.7 FM HD2. Well, you may have noticed at the gas pump, getting a little cheaper to fill up these days as we look at crude oil. NYMEX crude under $100 a barrel. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, Dow futures right now, 37 points lower, sort of in and out of gains all morning long, treading a bit of water at one point, down a tenth of a percent right now for the Dow futures. S&P futures, 6 points lower, that's down about two-tenths of a percent. And the tech-heavy NASDAQ E-mini futures right now, 24 points lower, that is down two-tenths of a percent. In London, with all the turmoil surrounding British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, the FTSE 100 up right now 120 points, a rise of 1.7%. And looking to treasuries this morning, we see this inversion in the yield curve between twos and tens, the two-year yield above the 10-year at 2.83%, the 10-year yield 2.81% this morning. And just ahead, Bloomberg Surveillance. You've been listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. For Karen Moscow, I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg.